Acts chapter 26. We've thought about last week about the importance and the role of the soul winner in God's great commission. And this is the big mission, the big purpose that the Lord has left for us. The Lord has completely accomplished everything necessary for our salvation. Amen? And so all that is left for us to do is just spread that, share that with others. And now we do not do the saving. The Lord does that through His Word and through the converting of the Holy Spirit. But at the same time, we are the messengers. Amen? And so the commandment is clear and good and perfect. The message is clear and good and perfect. Amen? The gospel seed has not lost its power or has not been corrupted in any way, shape, or form for 2,000 years. Praise the Lord for that. How do you know that? Well, because it converted your soul. Amen? And what a miracle that is, folks. Let's never, ever forget that. Amen? And so then there are a couple variables, though, that we can influence. And that is, of course, the plowing of the field that the gospel seed goes into to a degree. And that is most and foremost, though, we can prepare the messenger. We can do what little we can do and need to do in order to prepare the field. But most and foremost, we can prepare the messenger. Amen? We do not have control over anybody's will to receive or reject Christ. And now we can pray for the Lord to turn on the heat, so to speak, to turn the knobs of conviction and of drawing in His love and so forth. And He does that in answer to prayer. But at the end of the day, every person themselves has to decide to trust Jesus Christ. Amen? As my dad always used to tell me, there's only going to be volunteers in heaven. Amen? But at the same time, though, there is something very powerful that we can do. And that is we can prepare the messenger. How do we prepare the messenger? Well, first and foremost, through prayer. And that's what we want to look at a little bit this morning, the role of prayer and fasting in soul winning. And we see there in Acts 26, in verse 18, Paul's mission that he had been given by God to preach the gospel to the Gentiles. And this is really what was going on there. And in Acts 26, verse 18, who'd like to read that for us this morning? Thank you, brother.
To open their eyes and to turn them from darkness to light and from the power of Satan unto God, that they may receive forgiveness of sins and inheritance among them which are sanctified by faith that is in me.
Thank you, brother. Let's bow in prayer. Dear Father, we come to You this morning with grateful hearts, Lord, for so great salvation. And Father, I pray that You would just take all the burdens and disturbances of the week aside. And Father, truly help us to draw our thoughts heavenwards and, Lord, to the things that glorify You and that You desire. And that's the salvation of souls. You came to save that which was lost. And Father, we pray You'd help us now. We ask this in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. I think this verse is important. It is important for us to understand what is truly going on behind the scenes, so to speak, when we share the gospel and when a soul is saved, whether that be out on the missions field. And remember, to pray for our missionaries and to support them as God enables us. But also right here at home, amen, our family members, our co-workers, off working hours, of course, any neighbors, acquaintance. Our mission is to, through the preaching of the gospel, to open their eyes so that they would be turned from darkness to light, from the power of Satan unto God, that they may receive forgiveness of sins and inheritance among them which are sanctified by faith in the Lord. And so there is a very important spiritual transaction, but also a spiritual battle with that going on. The devil does not like to relinquish a soul that is enslaved in the bondage of sin and separated from eternal life in God. And And so he'd obviously try to prevent and hinder that in any way he can. But we can work against his schemes. And the first and foremost important part there is that we're prayed up. We prayed up personally for ourselves. Prayer is the source of wisdom and power in evangelizing. We must be prayer warriors. We need to pray for our church. We need to pray for the churches and missionaries around the world. We need to pray for our unsaved relatives and friends. We need to pray for those that take the seed, those gospel tracts, or those personal witnesses, and ask that the Lord would work in their hearts so their soil would be fruitful, amen, and they would receive the Savior. Folks, prayer changes things, amen? And I wonder how many things would be changed or should be changed if we would just pray, amen? and see that as a vital pillar in fulfilling the Great Commission. Now, we also need to prepare, of course, by first and foremost walking with the Lord ourselves, our devotional walk with Christ, amen? And so once again, let me remind you of the devotional booklets we've given out early in the year. And if you still like one, we always have more. Or the Bible reading plans. Or you know, you can even have them on the app, on your phone these days. Or listen to it, you know, on your way to work. Whatever it may be. But we need to be in the Word, and we need to be prayed up and walking in that communion with the Lord, spiritually speaking. Because by ourselves, man, our witness is going to be a mess, amen? we also need to be willing to learn, amen? And maybe memorize a few scripture verses. You know what? That won't hurt, amen? and I'd be happy to give you some key verses. And if you maybe even memorize them together, maybe down the road, we'll see. We also need to decide to be faithful. That's how we prepare ourselves too. You know, so many times, the devil wants to stop from a person getting saved by preventing the witness, you and I, already from speaking up and from saying something when we have the opportunity. Out of the fear of men, amen? That's a snare. Out of maybe insecurity, all these different things. And so prayer helps with that because it reminds us we're relying on the Lord, amen? It's my wisdom, my words, or whatever. But prayer also reminds me that my job is just to be faithful. It's God's job to do the saving. And that doesn't just bring great relief, it also gives great boldness then as we share the gospel. The Lord Jesus, I'm so thankful that He never gave up when He was rejected. Amen? I mean, He went from town after town after town. And every time, this guy's a Beelzebub, you know, oh, this guy's a lunatic, oh, you know, oh, this guy's an imposter, you know, get him out of here. He healed some people, he set some people free, get him out. It's like, what? You know? Even his own hometown rejected him. And you know what? Jesus just kept on trucking, amen? He's like, well, I got a mission to fulfill, whether people hear it or not. And he did so. What an example for us. We, of course, also prepare ourselves by being willing to give to support the Great Commission around the world, by being willing to go ourselves, by willing to train our children and teach them the gospel message, but also teach them to share the gospel as well. Amen. Some of our best soul winners are some of the young children here. I'll be honest with you. Amen. I remember a little while ago, I was going out with my daughter Abigail, and we were putting on door hangers, you know, as we do just about every Saturday. And once again, everyone is invited out for that. Many times you don't even have to speak to people. So there were some folks sitting outside of their apartment buildings, and you know, usually we can't get into apartment buildings, so we have to mail into their mailboxes or something like that. But these few people were sitting outside, and Abigail's like, "Hey, there's people sitting outside. We can go talk to them." And I'm like, yeah, we could, you know. And so guess what? She just went on ahead and talked to these total strangers and, you know, gave them her gospel tract and I started chatting with them. And before we know it, 20 minutes later, we're still chatting. And they're all interested. They want to know more about our church and you know, what we believe. And, you know, so what do Baptists believe? How do you go to heaven? Oh, let me tell you, you know, what an opportunity. And I'm so thankful for that. Where was that coming? Oh, child training. Amen. But this morning, I want to focus in a little bit on the role of prayer as well as fasting in regards to soul winning. And first and foremost, I think we need to remind ourselves the need and importance for that. When we turn to 2 Corinthians chapter 4, in 2 Corinthians chapter 4, we see that there is a force of evil that is highly interested in keeping people unsaved and away from the Savior. 2 Corinthians 4, verse 3. But if our gospel be hid, it is hid to them that are lost, in whom the God of this world, notice there, small g, that's a reference to Satan, in whom the God of this world hath blinded the minds of them which believe not, lest the light of the glorious gospel of Christ, who is the image of God, should shine unto them. For we preach not ourselves, but Christ Jesus the Lord, and ourselves your servants for Jesus' sake. When people reject you, when people reject our gospel witness, they're not rejecting you, they're rejecting the Savior. Amen? Because that's who we preach. Amen? Once again, a great comfort there. Don't take that personal. Amen? The Lord will deal with that. He knows how to deal with rejection. He's dealt with it for thousands of years. And He'll take care of it. But when we see in Scripture in regards to fighting that blindness, fighting that hindering that the enemy of God is seeking to do in souls from keeping them saved, in our family members, our friends, and so forth, we realize as we turn to Matthew 17 and verse 21, that prayer and fasting are an essential part in that spiritual warfare. Matthew 17, verse 21. Who'd like to read that for us this morning, please? Yes, brother. Thank you.
Howbeit this kind goeth not out by prayer and fasting.
Thank you. Now, the context there, of course, is a person afflicted by demons and so forth. But folks, the fact of the matter is the principle is the same. That whenever Satan is resisting God's agenda, one of our most potent weapons in the entire arsenal that God has given to us is, well, guess what? Prayer. Now, that's tough. Because it's prayer has an aspect that's very dissatisfying to the flesh. It's like we're not accomplishing anything. We're asking God to accomplish it. But you know, we always feel we need to do it, you know, and yet until we've prayed, really nothing has been accomplished. And if we've prayed, really the battle is already settled. That's when already the battle is won. But that's tough to remind ourselves of that by faith, amen. And fasting is, of course, an essential part of that spiritual warfare against, you know, satanic strongholds and blindness upon people's minds. And there are certain strongholds that, as the Lord says here, cannot be conquered but by anything else but prayer and fasting. In Ephesians chapter 6, verse 17, we see our spiritual armor there, the armor of God. Amen? And I want to begin reading that verse 17, Ephesians 6, 17. And take the helmet of salvation and the sword of the Spirit, which is the Word of God. But notice verse 18. Most people stop there and say, well, that's the whole armor of God. But I always like to go to verse 18 and I say, prayer is basically the oil that keeps all the armor moving. Amen? Praying always with all prayer and supplication in the Spirit, and watching thereunto with all perseverance in supplication for all saints. Verse 19, and for me, Paul says, that utterance may be given unto me, that I may open my mouth boldly to make known the mystery of the gospel, for which I am an ambassador in bonds, that therein I may speak boldly as I ought to speak. Even the great apostle Paul said, guys, I need someone behind the scenes, maybe out there in Ephesus, while I'm here in Rome sitting in prison, I need somebody to fight spiritually in prayer for the apostle Paul as he's seeking to bring the gospel to the prison or the palace or wherever he is there in Rome. When we look throughout the scriptures in the Old and the New Testament, we see how prayer and fasting in tandem, hand in hand, continually are essential parts of spiritual victories throughout the Bible. And, we could look at over 30 different examples of that. We won't do that this morning, amen. but for example, in Judges 20, we see how Israel fasted for victory in war. 1 Samuel chapter 1, Hannah fasted and prayed for God to bless her with a son. 2 Chronicles 20, Jehoshaphat and Israel fasted for help and protection in a great crisis. In Ezra chapter 8, we see how Ezra and the Jews fasted for help and protection. In the book of Esther, Esther chapter 4, you maybe are familiar with the story. Esther and her closest friends fasted as their nation was faced with extinction, really. As it seemed, God's agenda was being utterly defeated. Fasting and prayer. Daniel chapter 9, Daniel fasted for wisdom. Matthew chapter 4, the Lord Jesus himself fasted and was victorious while being tempted in the wilderness. Matthew 9, the Lord said that his disciples would be fasting people. He didn't say if you fast, he said when you fast, amen. in Acts chapter 13, before the ordaining of elders or deacons and pastors and before the sending out of missionaries, you consistently see that there was prayer and fasting involved in the church as the sending out of missionaries there in Acts 13, as well as in church planting in Acts chapter 14, prayer and fasting. In 2 Corinthians 11:27, the Apostle Paul says there that in his ministry, he was in fastings often. So just a quick little summary or a few instances of where we see that hand in hand throughout the Old and the New Testament. The saints of God would fast when there was a victory desired in a seemingly impossible situation. They would fast when a new ministry was being launched or when people would go out to proclaim the gospel and do that spiritual battle against the wickedness that sought to keep people unsaved. We see in 2 Corinthians chapter 6, verse 5, or chapter 11, 27, that they would fast whenever they were involved in some serious spiritual ministry. I want to turn to Matthew chapter 6, please. Matthew chapter 6. And look at this aspect that I think is quite underrated, really, in regards to soul winning. We always talk about supporting missions and giving financially. We always talk about the need to go. We talk about how we need to witness. But folks, the seed needs to be spread out. The ground needs to be saturated with the seed. Amen? But we would be amiss then not to also water the seed with the tears over souls and with the prayers and the fastings. For the enemy to not pluck them away, amen? Or for the weeds to not win, and so forth. And we see, though, when we look at fasting in the Scripture, just because we pray and fast does not mean that this is an automatic guarantee that your prayer will be heard or will be heard immediately. In 2 Samuel chapter 12, we have one example of that, where David fasted and prayed, And yet God said, you know what? My judgment that I pronounce will be happening. And at the same time, though, we see that prayer and fasting is essential. And again, preparing ourselves, preparing the messenger, but also in preparing the soil that the gospel goes upon. God is always sovereign, and He decides how and when He answers His prayers. And we must always submit to His will. God also will not force someone to be saved. Amen. He can make all the conditions for that person to receive the gospel at the end. They have to make that choice. Amen. And be willing to humble their pride. And yet there is a very special promise upon fasting though. And I want to read that there in Matthew chapter 6, verses 17 and 18. Could be so kind to read that for us this morning, please. Matthew 6, verse 17 and 18. Yes, brother, thank you.
But thou, when thou fastest, anoint thine head and wash thy face, that thou appear not unto men to fast, but unto the Father, thy Father which is in secret. And thy Father which seeth in secret shall reward thee openly.
Thank you, brother. Now notice, the fasting is there to the Lord. Amen. This is not a show to other people or any of that sort. No, this is when we fast and pray, it is to draw closer to the Lord. And there is so that reward that as we humble our soul before the Lord in prayer and in fasting, that the Lord shall reward thee openly. And what a powerful promise and what a powerful blessing there is upon this, well, really lost virtue, this essential part or art of Christianity, if you will. And mind you, of course, when you feel burdened to pray and to even fast, you always want to make sure to consider your health situation. And I always want to mention that, you know, if you're pregnant or if you're nursing or if you have diabetes or other health issues, you want to be considerate of that. Amen. And check with the doctor or whatever. But at the same time, when we do have the opportunity, let's be willing to go and pray for the boldness, pray for that reception of the gospel message, just like the saints of old did. Amen. And fight that spiritual battle for on behalf of the gospel there, as the Lord leads you. And you know what? That fasting may be one meal a day, that you just skip a certain meal on purpose in order to pray and to fast. Or however the Lord may direct you in regards to that fasting. There isn't any clear cut, you know, thou shalt do it exactly this way, no other way kind of idea of fasting. We see actually several different kinds of fast in the scripture, and we can talk about that some other time. But I wanted to look at this morning, what should we battle for in prayer? What should we pray for? And the first thing I want to mention, number one, is pray for the lost to be saved. Amen. And that seems obvious, pray for the lost to be saved. But at the same time, I'm afraid that many times we need to put out the seed, and then we think we've done our work. And yet I think that's really maybe only when the work begins, actually. The work on our knees, amen, and prayer for those souls. In Romans chapter 9, we see an example of the Lord being of the Apostle Paul being burdened for the salvation of the Jewish people here in particular. He says in Romans 9, verse 1, I say the truth in Christ, I lie not, my conscience also bearing me witness in the Holy Ghost, that I have great heaviness and continual sorrow in my heart. Now why? Because Paul found that his Jewish kinsmen were in particular hardened and blinded to the gospel truth of Jesus Christ, the true Messiah. And so it was a great burden on his heart that at least some of them would be willing, though, to open their eyes. And God is not willing that any should perish, amen, but that all should come to repentance, Peter said. And so that includes even the most hard-hearted and obstinate of souls. That includes Gentiles or Jews. But at the same time, it certainly might take some fervent heart praying and patient witnessing. Romans 10 verse 1, he goes on to say, brethren, my heart's desire and prayer to God for Israel is that they might be saved. We need to pray for the lost to be saved. The story goes that George Mueller, one of the great saints of old in England, had prayed for a certain unsaved friend of his for over 40 years of his life. 40 years. And anytime he tried to share the gospel with him, anytime he reached out to him, tried to love him, tried to encourage him about the things of God, no response, total rejection, couldn't care less. And eventually George Mueller died, went to heaven. And yet the Lord remembered those faithful prayers. And I believe just a few short years after George Mueller passed, that gentleman actually got saved and started serving the Lord for the rest of his life. And so George Mueller personally never even experienced that answer to his prayer anymore. But it's recorded for us to this day because guess what? Prayer works. Amen? Prayer moves the almighty hand of God. Pray for the lost to be saved. Secondly, pray for Satan to be defeated. Amen? Pray for Satan to be defeated. In 1 Corinthians 16, verse 9, Paul says, a great door and effectual is open unto me, and there are many adversaries. There were those who were opposing and hindering the gospel work. In 2 Thessalonians 2:18, he says, wherefore we would have come unto you, even I, Paul, once and again, but Satan hindered us. Satan wants to get us so distracted, so involved in other things, you know, as long as we're too busy to share the gospel. he succeeded. And so we need to pray that the Lord would give us the liberty and would take away any hindrances, and that he would, as we read in Jude verse 9, that he would rebuke Satan, he would rebuke the evil one, and he would protect us. And you know what? The name of the Lord is a strong tower, the Old Testament teaches us. The fact of the matter is, the enemy of God is already a defeated foe. And whenever we purposefully and consciously submit ourselves under the protecting hand of the Almighty Lord Jesus Christ, the enemy is automatically defeated and he is lost because he has no weapons against our Lord. Amen. And the Lord has crushed the serpent's head under his heel. Praise the Lord. And so we just need to, you know, not attempt to seek to fight that in our own flesh and in our own power. No, no, no. We need to make sure we submit ourselves to God and the devil will flee from us. The book of James teaches us. Amen. And so that's why prayer is so important together with that spiritual aspect of fasting. Thirdly, pray for more laborers to go out and witness. Amen. Luke chapter 10 in verse 2. Who'd like to read that for us this morning, please? Luke chapter 10 in verse 2. I believe the Lord is calling more laborers into his harvest. And I wonder if we are hesitant to pray more fervently for more laborers because we're afraid that as we pray, God all of a sudden might just use us as being the answer to that prayer. But you know what? That would be a blessing, wouldn't it? Amen? There's no greater joy than to serve the Lord Jesus Christ, folks, and to be just a humble little part in his great harvest. Who has Luke 10, verse 2, please? Sure, thank you, brother.
Therefore said he unto them, the harvest truly is great, but the laborers are few. Pray ye therefore the Lord of the harvest that he would send forth laborers into his harvest.
Thank you.
And we may say, well, but in Victoria it's different. You know, Victoria's the left coast. We're a gospel-hardened place, and you know, people detest the things of God around here and all that. And, you know, everybody's unchurched. And, you know, that's all true. But you know what? That was the fact when Paul went out, when Peter went out, when the Lord went out to preach the gospel too. Amen? I mean, the places the Apostle Paul brought the gospel to had been pagan and adulterous and occult for centuries. They had never even so much as heard the name Jehovah God. And so, you know, they faced the same situation, really. But I wonder, though, if the harvest truly would be much, much greater if there would be more laborers going out putting out seed. Amen? The harvest is always proportional to the amount of people putting out seed and the amount of seed being put out. Amen? We know that that's just plain old common sense when we do gardening or farming. And I think that's why the Lord uses those examples. Number four, pray for others while they are witnessing. Pray for others while they're witnessing. For that matter, pray during the preaching. Amen? 1 Thessalonians 5:25, brethren, pray for us. Colossians chapter 4, once again, Paul says, praying also for us that God would open unto us a door of utterance to speak the mystery of Christ. 2 Thessalonians chapter 3, verse 1. Finally, brethren, pray for us that the word of the Lord may have free course and be glorified, even as it is with you, and that we may be delivered from unreasonable and wicked men. For all men have not faith, but the Lord is faithful. Amen. And so forgive me if I rush through this, but folks, I think it is essential that maybe even if you cannot go out for one reason or another, you know, maybe you are a mother with small children at home and you aren't able to, you know, hit the street, so to speak. Or maybe due to your job schedule, whatever it may be, at a particular time, you can't go out. I believe at some point we all can and must be a witness in some form or another. Even if it's just leaving your tip at a restaurant with a tract. If it's, laying a gospel tract in the public washroom that you're using somewhere. I know people got saved through tracts left in public washrooms. or whatever it may be. When you get home from work and you've had your supper and you take a, 10-minute walk enjoying the sunset or something, hey, grab a dozen door hangers and I'd be happy to get that all to you or tracks there from the rack and just hit him on some doors on your way around the block, whatever it may be. But please, if you can't go, please make sure you pray for those who are. Amen? I cannot tell you how important that is. We ought not to ever underestimate the power of prayer for those who are soul winning. I'm always burdened whenever we're losing some dear, precious senior saint in our midst. Do you know why? Because I know they weren't maybe the most physical active. They maybe weren't the ones in the front light everywhere. They maybe weren't the ones hitting the streets everywhere or whatever. But I know for a fact, most of those senior saints, they understand still the power of prayer, and they are praying for their church. They're praying for their pastor. They're praying for the gospel witness going out. And so when God upgrades one of them to call them to heaven, I'm burdened because I'm like, Lord, we need somebody filling that prayer gap, amen? Because it's so essential. I think we cannot underestimate that. Let me close off here real quick. Number five, pray for the freedom and opportunity to share the gospel. 1 Timothy chapter 2 exhorts us to pray for all that are in authority and for a government. And to continue to preserve the freedom and the liberty that we have to share the gospel. Amen. But then lastly, I want to close off with Psalm 126. Psalm 126. Pray before, pray during, and maybe most and foremost, pray after you witness. Pray before, pray during, and especially pray after you witness. I want to close by reading Psalm 126, verse 5. They that sow in tears shall reap in joy. He that goeth forth and weepeth, bearing precious seed, shall doubtless come again with rejoicing, bringing his sheaves with him. It's important to get the gospel seed out there, but it needs to be watered with the tears, with the prayer, so to speak, of the believer. And one of the most important things that we can do outside of the actual witnessing for people to receive that gospel seed is to pray and to fast whenever we're able and to understand that spiritual warfare aspect in the gospel, in the missions command. Call unto me and I will answer thee and show thee great and mighty things which thou knowest not. Jeremiah 33:3 says, amen. Let's pray. Dear Father in heaven, we want to ask for your help. Lord, Father, would you give us a renewed burden for souls? Lord, help us to see and help us to love souls the way you do. Father, help us as the apostles of old in Acts chapter 4 to pray for boldness, to be a witness. Help us, Lord, to stand in for one another at the throne of God and do spiritual battle, Lord, in prayer and in fasting as the gospel goes out. And dear Lord, we're so excited how you will bless the seeds, how you will bless the tears and the prayers, and Lord, how you will do great and mighty things. Father, you still convert souls, and we praise you for that. And Lord, we just pray you give us that privilege, Lord, to be in one way or another a small part in your program in that. We pray you bless us now and ask us in Jesus' name.